Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC. A registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time to build rural wealth. Dan Miller with me this morning from Milestone Financial. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Aaron. You almost wanted to talk money, didn't you?
I almost did. And let me see that microphone here, Dan.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Let me see that for just a second here. It works better if I turn it on.
There you go. Well, I'm kind of loud, so usually it doesn't matter, but
I almost wanted to talk more.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. So, that's right.
Absolutely. How are things going?
Good. You know, it's hot. And it's fair time.
It
so
is.
There you go. I guess those two go hand in hand. You
they
ask
do.
Anybody that's ever worked on a fair board anywhere, they'll tell you that. I know back in my time at the bank when I was on the fair board, boy, hot days and that. And, you know, it used to be you just take tickets.
Uh-huh.
And that booth, I think it's air conditioned now. But back in the day when I did it, you know, it was not. And Denise and I'd be in there. And
dripping.
Oh, my gosh, it'd be so hot in there. Not a breath of air. And 90 degrees, 95 inside that little booth. But
yeah. Oh.
But no, I'll tell you what, I give 100% props to the people that volunteer to put on the fairs, because it's a lot of work. And
a lot
of people get a lot of enjoyment out of it. And that's great, but boy, everybody drink a lot of water this week.
Stay hydrated.
And I mean, I know the fairs are already going on. Amy was talking about the Adams County Fair mm-hmm. now, you know, that mm-hmm. that they go to or are involved in quite a bit, and their family. And yeah, it's just a lot. They're all, and I think Mills is over, correct?
Mills was, it's very close to over. I think they might have one over. They had their beef show yesterday morning,
yeah.
And Adams County's beef show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I think the East Pottawatomie County Fair's coming up or real soon.
Montgomery starts this week, and you have Fremont.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but just that time. And the State Fair will be here, what, in
yes.
3 or 4 weeks yeah. or a month or whatever
it's
it is.
In August, so it'll be here soon.
Yeah.
So it is that time.
It is. And we get the heat with it.
Amy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Have
Thanks.
You been at the fair?
I did go yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
I have some nephews that were showing pigs yesterday, and one of my nephew's wives, she was in a celebrity animal show where they
heard about that.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was really funny. They had, you know, different people from around town go and show animals, and they had a hilarious judge that asked them questions. So we really had a good time watching that.
So you spent your weekend at the Adams County Fair, or at least a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of it.
All right.
Could they keep the hogs cool? Okay.
Yeah.
Did they do
yeah.
it good and early? Probably.
They did it at 9, and then by the time it was over, about 10, 30, 11, it was getting warm, and the mm-hmm. pigs all went back, went to sleep, and
there
the rest
go.
Of us went home and sat in the air conditioning for a little while, because my kids are all out of it now,
uh-huh.
so
yeah.
I get to go watch and then go home.
See, there you go.
I got to tell you, Aaron, we did something kind of fun this weekend. First time that I've been able to do it for 2 years is we went and rode bikes.
Oh.
You know, we have e-bikes,
yes.
you know,
uh-huh.
and we went to Des Moines and rode bikes on one of the trails that we really like up there. Rode 22 miles, which was pretty good for the first time out. Like I said, I hadn't done it for 2 years because of my ankle surgery
right.
and everything, you know, so we enjoyed that, but it was time to quit by the time we were done.
Kind of nice to get out and do that.
Yeah,
though,
right? It really was. The trail that we rode from Des Moines down to Cumming, which is south, you know, of Des Moines down there, go
mm-hmm.
through Orilla and Cumming and then back. And like I said, it's about 22 miles total. And we got done about 2:30, and it was time to get done. It's getting hot. It's getting hot.
Yes, sir. That's
but,
for sure.
But anyway, no, it's good. It's fun to do that kind of stuff. I encourage people to get out and
mm-hmm.
do stuff.
Absolutely. Go to a fair, walk through the show barn.
Absolutely.
Talk to those kiddos. So.
You bet.
All right, here we go. So Building Rural Wealth, Dan Miller and Amy Shipley with me this morning. Is your practice paying what you're worth? Okay, this is an interesting one. Start me off here, Amy. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so that is an interesting question, isn't it? Is your practice paying you what you're worth? And you would think so, right? But we're going to talk today a little bit about some things that might surprise you. If you own a medical or dental practice, there's a question that's worth asking yourself. And is that, are you being paid what you're worth? And we're not just talking about what you take home. It's how is your income structured? How consistent is it? Does it support your long-term goals? Now, we've seen practice owners who are doing very well on paper. They've got strong revenue, busy schedules, a growing patient base. But when you look closer, there can be some gaps between what the practice produces and what the owner actually keeps. And high income doesn't always mean optimized income. So today, what Dan's going to talk a little bit about is where compensation gaps tend to show up, what might be quietly impacting profitability, and how to align your income with retirement and tax strategy.
Okay. I'm not sure we've talked about this before. So, Dan, what's the owner pay gap?
Well, you know, the owner pay gap, you know, I can relate to this sometimes, you know, because, and actually this could go with any business, not just dental and medical practices. This could go with any type of kind of owner operated type firms or, you know, a firm like ours. It could go to a law firm. It could apply to, you know, any kind of a professional firm like that, where, you know, maybe you're busy, maybe you're taking in a lot of money, you know, and doing things, but you're like, you know, is it doing what it should do? You know, and that owner pay gap, you know, that's kind of the difference between what the practice generates and what the owner actually takes home in a structured, intentional way. In other words, is it structured to actually, you know, do the things they want to do? And compensation isn't always consistent for any kind of self-employed people. And, you know, practice owners, again, any type of self-employed folks, it can vary based on their cash flow, their reinvestment decisions, equipment needs, staffing. Staffing is huge in any small business where, you know, you look at about any small business out there, Aaron, and staffing costs are almost always the largest expenditure in just about any type of business because, I mean, we need human assets, or not assets, that sounds terrible, but we need those people to help you. You know, to help business owners get their work done. And some of the common patterns we see is, you know, owners oftentimes pay themselves what's left over. And that's so true. I mean, yeah. I can speak from that. I mean, that's just, you know, especially businesses when they're starting out, we see that a lot, you know, with different types. Inconsistent distributions, again, a lot of businesses, including dental practices or any medical practices, they're seasonal. You know, people come and go at different times of the year, and so there's inconsistent patterns. And they may not have set up any clear salary or profit structure. Now, usually if you talk to a tax accountant or someone like that, they're going to recommend that you do have some type, if you have a practice of some kind, they're going to recommend that you do set up some type of salary, because you need to pay into the Medicare system. The IRS is going to look at that. If all you're ever doing is just taking profit distributions, you know, and again, I'm not a tax accountant, but you need to visit with your own. But oftentimes they're going to look at that, because without structure, you know, your income can feel very unpredictable. You know, even in very successful businesses, very successful practices. And, you know, in some cases, owners haven't even compared their compensation to any broader benchmarks. You know, they don't even know, is my practice doing what it should be doing for me?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Just because, like, for example, let's say I'm seeing X number of patients a week or a year or whatever. You know, how does that compare to my, you know, competitors or to my peers? You know, so, you know, I encourage owners of any kind of self-employed businesses to stop and reflect honestly for a moment. You know, if you step back and looked at your compensation objectively, would it reflect the value that you feel like you are truly creating?
Okay. So what about some of those hidden profit drains, Amy? What do we need to be looking at there?
Sure. Like, you know, we wanted to mention that little small inefficiencies can quietly erode your income. And so you really kind of need to be constantly looking at things. One of those is your staffing structure. Like Dan pointed out, labor is pretty much the largest expense of any business. And you have to think about, are there inefficiencies with your staffing payments? Are you overstaffed during slower periods? Do you have some underutilized roles? Are there misaligned responsibilities? You know, that's one area where you might have some inefficiencies that you can look at. Another one is equipment utilization. That's another big expense for small business owners. So are you buying a lot of expensive equipment but not necessarily using it to its full capacity? So for an example, with technology these days, you know, that could increase your production, but are you fully using it and integrating it to its full capacity? The other area would be operational inefficiencies. You know, are there scheduling gaps that you have? Do you have bottlenecks in your workflow? Are there administrative redundancies? You know, just all of these little factors together can influence your profitability and productivity. So you just, it's a good idea to kind of look at those things.
Mm-hmm. And to go go right along with that, I think about a saying I heard a long time ago. Do you have the right people on the right seats on the bus?
Yes.
And that's something that, you know, I think about a lot. And you know, it's always a struggle to make sure that you do have the right people in the right situation on the right seats on the bus. And are you driving the right bus? You know, in other words, do you have your system set up to accomplish what you're wanting to do in your practice or in your business of any kind?
Yeah. Amy touched on software there. I think software is one of those that many times that we underutilize. You may pay for this big package, but you only use 25% of this software package.
Oh, and you know, we joke about this, but it's not a joke, but we talk about this at the office. You know, everything's a subscription now.
Yeah. Yes,
you know,
it is.
And
yes,
I mean, everything's a subscription. Uh-huh. And you know, and I will tell you, I am, you know, from my own personal standpoint, I'm as susceptible to the latest shiny bauble as the next person. And I see this piece of technology and I think, man, that would be great for our business, you know. But it's a little bit like Amy said with a piece of equipment, are you fully utilizing it? Mm-hmm. And I know right now in our own business, we have some software packages that I thought were going to be just the thing, and we're not fully utilizing them to the extent. So, you know, those are the things that can eat into an owner's profitability, you know, and their compensation.
You just continually have to watch those things.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about aligning salary, retirement, and of course, Dan, taxes.
Yep.
Always with the taxes.
You knew it would always come back. It comes back to taxes.
We always get there.
Well, you know, Aaron, you know, oftentimes how you are paid may be just about as important as, you know, how much you're getting paid. You know, so let's assume your practice or your business is producing well. You know, the next question becomes, how is that income structured? You know, because compensation for owners isn't just about take-home pay. It can influence your retirement contributions, your tax exposure, your long-term planning. You know, all those things come into it. You know, for example, I touched on it just a minute ago, taking a salary versus distributions, you know, or profit distributions, in other words. You know, for some structures, how income is split matters. You know, this is where you got to coordinate that with your CPA. And, you know I talk with my tax people all the time. Because, you know, it's tempting to want to take income as distributions and not salary, because that way you don't pay as much Social Security. But then on the other hand, you need to pay into Social Security, of course. And, you know, you need to contribute to the system for yourself and for others. And so there's always considerations there if you're a business owner. Component number two is your retirement plan integration. Just had this talk with another gentleman not too long ago. Is how are you paying your people and how are you paying yourself? Because that's going to determine if you can have retirement distributions or contributions, contributions, you know, because, you know, if you have a 401k plan, you know, in our firm, we have a 401k plan. We can make we make 401k contributions to people.
Sure.
But if you're paying your employees primarily as 1099, contractors or something like that, You know, you can't have a 401k plan for that type of situation. And you also need to be talking with your CPA to make sure that, you know, because there's rules about how many hours they work. Are they now contractors or are they full-time employees? Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm not going to get into the tax side of any of that stuff. But that brings me to component number three, which is that tax awareness.
Taxes.
And so, you know, it's not always just minimizing taxes, but aligning those decisions with your long-term goals, you know, because it's not just what you earn, it's how much your income flows through your plan and how much you get to keep. But I also, I don't know how many times I've told clients this from different things, you know, you also can't solely let the tax tail wag the dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, you have to make the best decisions for your business as a whole and as how it's you're going to get compensated, not solely from the tax lens. Taxes are always got to be, you know, considered, but you can't make that decision based 100% on the tax implications.
Good information. Dan Miller with me and Amy Shipley from Milestone Financial, Building Rural Wealth. So, Amy, bring this all together for me.
Okay, Aaron. Well, when we look at everything as a whole, you know, your compensation structure, like we talked about, operational efficiencies, profitability, long-term planning, you know, you see that it is all connected, and a successful practice can still leave opportunity on the table. So if you looked at your practice from the outside, you know, you want to, what would stand out? Like the original question said, is your practice paying you what you really are worth?
Mm-hmm.
Not just an income, like Dan mentioned, but in how that income supports your future, your retirement. The goal is to make sure that your successful practice translates into long-term financial clarity. So if you would like some help reviewing some of these points that we talked about today, retirement strategy, tax strategy, coordinating with your CPA, give us a call, and we'd be happy to have that conversation. Our number is 712-623-5726, and our website is milestonefinancialgroup.com.
It's good information. Have the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things to consider.
Make it a great day. Nice to see you both.
Thank you, Aaron.
Dan Miller and Amy Shipley with me this morning from Milestone Financial.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations. The countdown is on for the Montgomery County